CliffCentral.com.
Craig Rodney's here. Now, the last time I spoke to him, he was telling me about this South African Instagram account. Sorry. And this morning, he's here. Look at him. Look at how good he looks. Doesn't he look fresh and ready to take on the whole universe?
In the flesh.
How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks. I've got a photo shoot later today, which is why I'm all fancied up.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Otherwise, I'd be t-shirt.
What
shorts.
Photo shoot? What's this for?
It's for Wonderman, our parent company. They're doing these photos around the world for all however many thousands of employees.
So you're going to be in like a corporate...
No, it's actually not corporate. It's but they want consistency, brand consistency. So we kind of similar. You know what? When you see the photo, you want to know that it's Wonderman. Oh, it's not a bad thing.
Do you have to... Because Cerebra is obviously partly your baby.
Yes.
But is that owned by Wonderman?
Yes. Yeah, we sold 75% of Cerebra to Wonderman about 4 years ago.
So what the hell are you doing still working?
I love it.
Didn't you make enough to go and live on a golf estate and chill in Mauritius?
Probably.
Yeah, well done to you.
But there's stuff to do. There's things that need to be done.
What? So sell the Instagram account too. I mean, what else do you need to do? Go and relax, man. Take a load off. You don't have to be creative forever.
Go farm vanilla.
Vanilla, yeah. That sounded really good, eh?
Isn't that awesome?
Farming is amazing, right? Because you get to pretend like you're creating things even though it's creating naturally. So you're kind of curating.
But something like vanilla, it's so exotic.
But it's stealth, yeah. Right? And I like that because it's smart. Because people don't naturally wake up and go, oh, you know what? We need to go farm vanilla. But vanilla's in tons of things. I reckon there's a lot of demand for it. You go in stealth on that, you probably make a ton of money.
So obviously with Cerebra, you're still involved in the business and
yes.
you still run that part of it. But do you work for the? Do you get your instructions from these guys? These guys overseas? I mean, how does it work? How does it all happen?
No, when we did it, we were nervous that's what it would be like.
Yeah.
But we've been part of the group for 3 years, and we absolutely don't. I mean, they support us. They're there to make sure that our businesses run well from a business perspective. So they actually take a lot of the pain away around, you know, finance, HR, that kind of stuff.
I had a lunch with Stopforth yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Well,
okay.
he popped in.
Yeah. So, and what they do is they free us up to do what we do and they allow us to do it well. And the thing that's really starting to kick off now is they're starting to export our skills. So we've got, you know, the work that we do here is actually world leading. There's guys in New York that are asking us to, you know, send over people, and there's guys of ours in London right now working on UK clients, etc. And it's amazing that we've set the standard in South Africa, in a small agency in South Africa, and they're exporting our IP now to all their offices around the world.
It's a pretty cool. I've been to your offices. And it's a nice working environment. Like this, it seems to me to be a kind of place where people have fun.
It is. The guys do have a lot of fun. When people start, we give people headphones when they start, because open plan offices with a bunch of noisy people, not everyone thrives in that environment. So if you're a quiet person, then you could put your headphones on, and it's the open plan do not disturb sign. Like, do not mess with someone who has headphones on.
Oh,
like,
wow, that's a clever way of going. Because we've got this open plan and people hate each other.
Yeah, it can be rough, but headphones in our office is the universal, like, don't tap me on the shoulder, I'm busy.
That's a good way to go. All right, so let's talk about this Instagram account, because the last time you and I saw each other, you told me all about how it's going there. This is not the official, like, it's not owned by Brand South Africa or any of that stuff. You started this, you saw Instagram come up, and you thought, South Africa.
Yep.
I'll take that and I'll look after it.
Yep.
I'll start putting up beautiful pictures, and it really is a magnificent account. You've got lots of how many hundreds of thousands of followers you've got?
Yeah, no, 140 odd.
Right.
Thousand.
Huge. It's massive.
Not 140. That's
no, it's big. It's a very big deal. And you put up amazing pictures that I think probably do a bigger and better PR job for South Africa than some of the paid for stuff.
Yep.
Have they approached you? Have they tried to buy it from you?
No, not yet. I mean, I'm happy to have those conversations, but I do work with SA Tourism, right? Last year I did this InstaMeet, so I did a get together for all of South Africa's Instagrammers, and we had about 250 people of their own volition arrive in Graaffreinet for 4 days and hang out and take photos and do a whole lot of cool
was
stuff.
Was that the most pretentious gathering ever in
no,
South
no,
African
no, it
history?
Wasn't. No,
because
no,
Instagram
it wasn't.
Instagram is full of pretentious people.
No, you're pretty big on Instagram. So
am I?
Potentially. But it's...
which means I could be, but I'm not utilizing my
exactly.
It's like saying you really could be a very beautiful, attractive model.
You have what it takes,
but you look like a troll.
But now we bring Ben into it, which is
he there?
No, he wasn't. But he's that potentially good-looking model guy.
I've lost the potential. I've turned.
I'm afraid
the potential's gone, Craig. But
there
thank
was
you.
Once yeah. once Ben had some of that going for him, not anymore. Yeah.
But you know what? He's got to thrive in now the older male category.
But it's also because he's settled down with a really lovely girl, and she's enough for him, and he's enough for her, and. It works.
It's letting it go now.
It's because of her. I'm still holding on by a thread. No, I'd look like nothing if it wasn't for her.
Yeah, if she wasn't around, your value would even more.
Yeah, but Craig, compromised. I'm going to battle with the older man thing because I just
you two play golf together
every now and again. Yeah,
at times. Craig's better than me.
No.
Does that happen because now you can? Do you have office hours? You can do what you want, right?
No, I do. I do have office hours, but you mentioned earlier, like I played golf straight out. Instead of going to varsity, I went to varsity, but I didn't go to lectures. Mm-hmm. I went to the golf course instead. And then I got to a point where I was like, oh, do I take this seriously? Do I turn pro or what? And my old man was funding me, and he wasn't happy about it.
No.
So he said to me, "You got to take me around of golf. I want to see what I'm spending money on." And I shot my lowest round ever playing with him, and we walked off, and he said, "Okay, cool, I'll find you for the next year." And I said, "No, it's cool, I'll quit." And he goes, "How do you quit after your best round?" And I said, "That's the best I'll ever play, like literally I'll never play better than that, and that's not good enough."
But that's BMT though, Craig. I mean,
no, it's literally it was
a lot of pressure.
It was freeing for me. I was like I can never play better than that, and it isn't good enough to make it. And I just kind of went, well, cool, I'll just be a good golfer for the rest of my life. And golf, you can't make money in golf, eh? Like the top few people make tremendous amounts of money, but outside of that, you're just grinding out this miserable existence. And
you're living this dream, and it hurts. Like on Thursday,
you're
paying
for your travel, basically.
Yeah.
On Thursday, I'm playing the Sunshine Tour Media Day, which I love because I get to play against pros in match play, right?
And you get to beat them, probably.
You see these guys who
My belly's fallen asleep with all this golf talk, by the way.
She's right. I need to move on. Yeah.
She's snoring.
I'll be brief, but you see these guys who are grinding out a dream, and it does hurt a bit.
Yeah, it's not things. Anyway, so I called it quits very early on, and then decided like let's go down the business route, and went from there.
Did you know what you wanted to do when you guys started Cerebra? I mean, was it the kind of vision that was there from the very beginning, or did it crystallize through the process?
So it evolved. So Mike and I merged our businesses in 2010. Before that, I actually ran my own business, which was the PR company. But Mike started off selling blogs to corporates.
Who's cleverer out of you two?
Mike.
You think so?
Yeah. Mike is ridiculously
smart. Because he said you.
No, well, I mean, he's also complimentary as well. But, you know, Mike genuinely is one of the smartest guys I've met, right? And I think, so I think if you didn't compare smarts and you compared instinct, I think in the space that we're in, Mike is unparalleled when it comes to his instinct for what's coming and what businesses need. That's what Cerebra's built on, because it started off him selling technology. We had developers working there. And then we realized that companies don't have a tech problem. They have a voice problem. Like, how does a company speak? What does it sound like? What does it say? What does it say when people speak back? Yeah. And that, you know, like it's easy to put copy into ads and put them up on billboards because you don't hear what people mumble under their breath when they drive past. But you put something on social media and you hear the worst of what people think about you. And businesses kind of went, no one's ever spoken back. Like, how do we now respond and how do we engage? And that was Mike. Like, Mike, you know, it's Rich Mulholland.
Yeah.
So Rich coined the term Stopforth's law, which is in the absence of an expert, the person who puts their hand up first becomes it. And if you go back long enough, as social media was starting to become this hot topic, all the media people are looking around going, who's the social media guy in South Africa? Like, I want to do an interview or something like that. Yeah. And Mike kind of went, fine, put his hand up and went, I will be the social media expert. And that was it. And that's how Cerebra started. He literally just put his hand up and said, I will be the person that everyone turns to.
Yeah, he, we were sitting having a discussion yesterday, and he walked past. He was all suited up. He was off to some important meeting.
He was looking smart yesterday.
Yeah, and he stopped by and had a quick conversation. And I mean, he's a very, very worldly sort of dude as well. But you are too. I mean, don't
underestimate. Listen, Max Boxberg, eh? Don't.
Yeah, you see that we don't. And nobody's perfect.
He fakes it. He does fake it well.
Nobody's perfect. But I mean, you've had a pretty good time of this as well, and you've added more than your weight and value.
Yep.
Yeah, it's cool. It feels good to build something, right?
It does. You reach a point where we're 60 people now. And, you know, you get to the end of the month and you realize the responsibility for that salary bill and the number of people that it affects, because 60 direct employees, and then there's people that live off those salaries and stuff like that. But that's also, it's inspiring, right? You've got to sit there and you go, we built something, we created something that generated enough demand to be able to create an opportunity for these guys, right? And I can tell you the best thing is, business aside, when you see individuals thrive within an environment that you allowed or that you facilitated, when you see people come into Cerebra and 3 or 4 years later are fundamentally transformed people, like they're world globally. As I said, we've got guys now sitting in London, sitting in New York, consulting to massive, massive global brands on social media. And these are guys who walked into Cerebra wearing a pair of shorts, kind of going, hey, what should I do? You know, seeing cool. The individual transformation stuff is great.
Cool. You got in 2011, you were voted one of the 40 most influential South Africans under the age of 40. But yes. Now you're over 40.
I am over 40 years.
So you don't expect anything good to
nothing,
happen.
Nothing. We are past it now. Now it's about, now it's about cashing in, right? now you're like, listen, I reckon I've earned my stripes, and now let's go out and do something interesting.
Just from we'll move on from Cerebra in a second, but there are a lot of brands that are difficult to manage, and there are also some brands that have had massive shitstorms gather up around them. Do you recall one that was really, really tough and difficult to navigate that you guys had endless sleepless nights over?
So we very rarely have sleepless nights, because it's actually not your, when you get to that,
it's not your brand.
It's not, when you get to that crisis level,
you're the spin doctor.
Someone else is having sleepless nights. Your job is to stay calm and stay focused and help them navigate through it, right? But I mean, we were involved in the Toyota global recall when Toyota cars, when the accelerators kept getting stuck and they had to do the global recall. So we had to deal with that from a social media space. The most interesting one was a few years ago, Vodacom, who is still a client of ours. Their network went down. Oh my goodness.
Sorry, that was just the ad.
So the Vodacom network went down. But only the call network. So the data was still running. So people couldn't make calls, but they could complain about it on Facebook. Ugh. And so we dealt with that for quite a while afterwards. Yeah. And you know, I mean, people are addicted to data. It's a human right. If their data isn't available, it's a human rights violation.
They're addicted to data, and they hate the networks. They hate
which is unbelievable, because like these guys are making your daily life possible.
I know, everything on the phone. They live, the fact that you could listen to us now is probably due to one of these networks.
Yeah, and listen, like these guys, you know, I mean, while they're big and they're in the business of making money, I would want my network provider to be making lots of money, because it means that they're reinvesting, they're making sure that my calls don't drop. But yeah, handling social media crises, is always actually a fun part of things, because as I said, you while you're part of it, it isn't happening to you, so you're not having that anxiety and stress. You get to be the calm one and just watch how these things evolve and see people piling in to the conversation, and you watch how it jumps.
What do you think of the internet? Is it a horrible place or is it a nice place?
I mean, it's a phenomenally brilliant thing.
Really? Even when there are more trolls and more negativity and nastiness?
So it's an exact, now that there's enough people online, it's an exact replica of real life.
Ugh.
Right? Real life, well, if as long as you're a relatively happy person, real life is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, you get to wake up and like the world is yours. If you want to look at it that way, you can travel the world, you can see things, you can meet people, but there are tons of assholes out there. Yeah. You've just got to figure out ways to avoid them. Right? And online is an exact replica of that. Like, sure, certain things are heightened because it's unlikely someone's going to walk up to you in the street. I mean, you might get it because there are certain people who really dislike you. But you might get it that someone makes a comment to your face in a Woolworths queue or something like that.
No, they don't.
But the average person, the average person will kind of, it's easier to navigate away from people in the real world as opposed to in a digital space. But I mean, even Instagram announced yesterday that you can now filter comments, auto block comments on your pages based on filter words. So you can go into the tool and you can put in, arsehole,
Kim Kardashian, idiot, Kim whatever. Kardashian's about to have a busy day.
Yeah, exactly. But you can, you, any words that, that, that you want blocked from your comments, you can put in filters and it auto blocks.
Right, Ben, choose three words right now you'd auto block from your comments.
Sheepers.
Come on.
I didn't get a lot of hurtful comments, I gotta say.
Really?
No, he's not you.
How about you? What would you block?
I'm going to think about that for a second. But what I wanted to ask you was, doesn't it become annoying though, dealing with how self-righteous we sometimes become on Twitter? Because, you know, it gives us this false sense of power. And then sometimes we feel like we're more important and special than we actually really truly are.
So it doesn't bother me at all.
Okay.
Right. Because I know that it's an online behavior, not a real world behavior. And as long as it stays there, I know a lot of people who are assholes on Twitter. Like they really are. And in a real world, these like just gentle kind of guys, right? So I think if you're going to be in that online space, or if you've got kids that are getting to that age where they're going to go into the online space, what you've got to teach them is that teach them to separate themselves a bit from this. Like it's not really real. The people making these comments, like you've got to be able to distance yourself from it, and you've got to be able to have a chuckle at it. Like if you can't laugh at it, if you can't accept that if the moment you do something that is worthy of praise, it's worthy of critique. And you've got to be able to be okay and just go like, oh, the criticisms come on, you know? Yeah. Someone sent something to me the other day about this guy who's had an art gallery, and, there's a new artist and there was an art critic there, and the art critic said to the artist, would you like my opinion on your work? And the guy said, yeah, no, sure, go for it. And the critic goes, it's useless. And the guy goes, no, I know it is, but I still want to get your opinion anyway. You know, the reality is that people will always have a say. People are always going to voice their opinions. Your job is to know what you want, what you're going after, and then you can use it. Either you use it to fuel you and give you anger to want to succeed more, or just have a morning laugh at everything that you see.
And sometimes it's not even about you. Sometimes when people are like that online, it's because they're unhappy and they need to vent. And
they want
to feel important.
Hurt people.
That's it. And a lot of people just are crying out for attention. And if they can find a way of getting under your skin, then they feel like they've made an impact.
But there's a culture in networks, right? So to bring it back onto like Twitter and Instagram are vastly different, but it's the same people. It's not two separate groups of people that use these. The vast majority of people that have a Twitter account have an Instagram account.
Right.
They behave differently in different places, right? On Instagram, as I said, like the @South Africa account has open comments.
And it's all positive. I mean, I can't imagine there's any negativity.
In over 3 years, I've blocked two people.
Yeah.
And it was just because I didn't really have the patience for it. I was just like, you know what? Like, you're an idiot. Like, you're deliberate. Like, twice people have come on and they've made a comment that you can see they're deliberately trying to get a rise. And I'm just like, okay, cool. You can go away, right?
What's the story with people who from international sort of, you know, tourists, basically? They come to South Africa. They look at your Instagram account to plan their itinerary.
Yeah.
That's quite a cool thing.
It happens all. Oh my God. It is one of the most regular things that you see in the comment section.
Hello, my name is Helmut. I'm from Germany. I'm coming soon. I want to see the mountain.
Well, listen, like a lot of it you don't understand because there's a ton of foreign language comments that happen. So if those people are being abusive, they get away with it because I don't understand it. But
who speaks Hungarian?
Exactly. Yeah. But there's a ton of people who you'll see them tagging the same other person, and they go back all the way through the gallery, like through hundreds and hundreds of photos, tagging the same person.
Do you do all the pics?
Well, no, they're none of them are my photos.
Oh.
They're all other people's photos. So the South Africa Instagram account.
I thought you took a few.
I think I've featured myself twice in like 2000 photos. Right. Actually the first time I was overseas and I let someone else run the account, and I was determined that I would never post one of my photos because that's just vain. And the guy I gave the account to run for the 4 days posted one of my photos, and gave me credit, which was quite cool. But yeah, so I mean, the idea is that there are thousands and thousands of people traveling around South Africa taking photos every single day.
Mm.
And
how do you source them? Do you call these people up directly and say to them, can I have your photo?
No. I did for the first year, I did 365 photos in 365 days. That was the plan, right? Jeez. It was a 365 project. Mm-hmm. And for every single photo, I asked permission. Can I post this on South Africa? Cause I was like doing the legal, like you run an agency, don't get into trouble type of thing, right? And 365 people said yes.
Hmm.
And then I went, if we're 365 for 365, then let's move on, right? And so we're now almost at 2,000 photos, and I still haven't had a single
but
person
you credit
say
the photographer.
Absolutely, yeah, the photo by. And I've never had anyone ask me to take their photo down.
Yeah, there's some bloody good photographers in this country. I mean, people like Gareth Pun, you know.
Gareth is ridiculous, although he's in Chicago now. So
yeah. I follow him just because his pictures are so beautiful. Yeah. He came into the studio one day, and he took this funny picture with his phone. It didn't look like much. It came out, I just felt like I was retarded by comparison. I can't even take a photo without blurriness in it.
Yeah, I mean,
and this guy is just so talented.
When you walk around with Gareth, it's interesting. So I've spent a lot of time with him. And when you go on these photo walks in groups, you see people watching him like hawks because they want to see how he sees a shot. And you'll see the moment he like kneels down, like, and like puts his phone in a certain place and takes a shot, like along the curb, looking up at a building or something like that.
Everyone else does.
I promise there's like 10 people in a queue trying to take that same shot, right? But I mean, it's also that's how people, people learn.
You go on photo walks. That sounds, Mubs, do you want to go to photo walk?
Mubs is busy choking in the background.
She's choking on the pretentiousness. Yeah. What kind of people go on photo walks, Craig?
Generally really cool people, right?
Really?
Yeah. You know what? Like, so here's really? The thing. Here's the thing. Instagram is very community focused.
All these people walking
with know,
their phones.
I've there's a lot of people that I now classify as good friends in my life that I've met through Instagram by going on walks and that kind of stuff. And every single one of these people has something else going on. Like Instagram is just a side, it's just a side project. Mm. It's something to do. But one thing that they all have in common is that they aren't your traditional kind of beer drinking, bar lurking types, but everyone has something to do. Like Nathaniel said earlier, like he just wants time to go read a book.
Yeah.
Cool. So if you're not a book reader, like you want to do something else, so you go and you watch like Ben will watch every single sports game, and I want to put a gun to my head, right?
Yeah.
Like I need to do something else, right? And so for me, photography is my passion. So I love taking photos. And
apparently, it's the most popular hobby in the world.
With smartphones, everyone having a camera now, it probably is, right? But I could go do that. Alternatively, I could find someone else who's putting together a group and saying, hey guys, we're going to go explore Fox Street in town at 3 p.m. And you like meet up with random people. And these people from overseas that will see this walk and join. And you can do your own thing. You can be a loner in the group. You can go take photos on your own, or you can go join a walk. It genuinely isn't as pretentious as
you think. How much would Brand South Africa or South African Tourism have to pay you for this account?
A disastrous amount of money.
Yeah, they would bankrupt them.
So what's interesting is, as I said, I do work with them, right?
Oh.
And the Ad South Africa account doesn't take me tons of time. What I do is I aggregate all this content that other people create.
Yeah.
There are thousands of people. The South Africa account gets tagged hundreds of photos a day from people traveling this country taking incredible photos. All you have to do is have an eye, find nice photos and share them into a central place. So the way I got lucky was getting my hands on the username. The lady who registered it was a young American lady who wasn't using it, and she gave it to me.
Hmm.
Which is quite handy because it's a fairly significant username.
Sure.
And then I started building the account from there, right? But it's at a point now. So Instagram released their stats, and this isn't meant to belittle SA Tourism, but they released their stats recently so that now each user you can go see your reach and your engagement and stuff like that, right? The South Africa Instagram account gets more likes than South African Tourism website gets visitors.
Wow. Beautiful. There we go.
Right.
Wow, that's not
and
great.
As I said, like it's a different platform. It's I am kind of comparing apples to oranges and stuff like that.
If they bought it, it probably wouldn't be run as well. So,
well, essentially, if I would be quite happy for it to be part of their stable. I believe it should be. Like you know, while I have a sense of ownership over the account, I also think that it has been built with my passion around profiling South Africa. Like I legitimately do believe that it makes a difference. I do believe Instagram is a.
You've got the Minister of Tourism on the line.
Why don't you just give it back to us because you're a patriot?
Well, listen, like they've never actually asked for it, and so which is quite interesting.
There you go. The minister just asked.
Yeah, but Instagram is an inspiration platform. I think people go there just to feel inspired,
right.
And there are thousands of people who follow the Instagram account, and if it inspires them to want to travel, either locals traveling within the country or people to come here, if that's it, if I heard someone say like, "Oh, I chose to come to South Africa because of the photos on Instagram," then it's worth it.
Sure. Well, listen, man, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And let us know if they make you an offer.
I will. I'll keep you posted.
I want to know what that's worth. Because then you could probably buy the whole of Mauritius.
You know? No, Mauritius, it's euros. Like, our rand goes nowhere
that's
there.
That's true. Actually, good point. Well put. All right, Craig, very nice to see you, man.
Good to see you. Always. Thank you for the time. Thanks for being
Rodney.
On the show.
Yeah, absolutely. CliffCentral.com.